Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. In this lesson, we're going to talk about the covenant of life, or as some would call it, the covenant of works. The Catechism calls it the covenant of life. Listen to question and answer 12. What special act of providence did God exercise toward man in the estate wherein he was created? When God had created man, he entered into a covenant of life with him upon condition of perfect obedience, forbidding him to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil upon the pain of death. Genesis 2 gives us the picture of the covenant of life. Genesis 2:9. Out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15 and following. Then the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." God planted two special trees in the midst of the Garden of Eden. The first was the tree of life. The tree of life was a sacrament. It was a sacrament celebrating the life that God was pleased to give to Adam and Eve in the garden, and celebrating the life that God would give to Adam and Eve when they sustained the covenant of life. In other words, the tree of life not only celebrated the good life that Adam and Eve had in the garden at the time, but the tree of life pointed forward to a greater life that Adam and Eve would experience in closer communion with God in what we call heaven. And so there's a sense in which the future life is set before Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was also put into the garden. And the stipulation was that Adam and Eve was not to eat the fruit from the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat freely from all the trees of the garden except this one. And I'm sure that they did eat from the tree of life, and they did celebrate the life that God had given to them and promised to them in the future. But now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we could call a sacrament of death. The tree of life was a sacrament of life, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a sacrament of death. Why? Because if they ate from it, they would surely die. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil set before them the pathway that led to death. Now we see in the Shorter Catechism that the Catechism calls the covenant of life a special act of providence. Notice the Catechism once again. When God had created man, he entered into a covenant of life with him. And the question is, what special act of providence did God exercise toward man in the estate wherein he created him? After God created Adam and Eve, or more specifically, after God had created Adam, he entered into this covenant with Adam. There are those who suppose that the so-called creation ordinances are included in the covenant of life. I do not think this is the case. But in this construction where the creation ordinances are supposed to be part of the covenant of life. Some theologians will say that if the Sabbath was broken, this would be a violation of the covenant of life. That if the marriage vows were broken, this would be a violation of the covenant of life. That if the cultural mandate was broken, this would be a violation of the covenant of life. But you see, we would ask immediately, since there is such a tragic thing that happens as a result of the breaking of the covenant of life, we would ask, well, if Adam and Eve broke the Sabbath, violated the Sabbath, how did they violate the Sabbath? We would want to know specifically. We would not want to know the specific sin that brought about the tragedy of the fall. If Adam and Eve broke their marriage vows, we would want to know how it was that they broke their marriage vows, because we would want to know the specific sin that resulted in the fall. And if Adam and Eve violated the cultural mandate, we would ask the question, how? We would want to know how it was that they violated the cultural mandate, and we would want to know the specific sin that led to the tragedy of the fall. Well, the creation ordinances are not part of the culture, or not part of the covenant of life, or the covenant of works. No. The covenant of life, or the covenant of works, is a very specific, arbitrary command. And the very specific command is, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest you die. And this command, this singular command, when broken, is understood. And we'll visit that a little bit later. This command was a test. It was a test of faith. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? You see, the implicit promise that goes along with the test is, not only will you die if you fail the test, but you will achieve life if you sustain the test. Do you trust God? You see, coming to Adam and Eve with the covenant of life is actually a gracious act on the part of God. God giving Adam and Eve the opportunity to achieve this higher life. And the question is, do they believe God? Do they trust God? And how were they to display their faith? By their obedience. If you love me, you keep my commands. You see, this would be the third part. Do they love God? And as part of the test, their love and obedience and faith were on the line, as it were. And they had an opportunity to display their faith and obedience and love to the great God of heaven. Now, when God gave Adam and Eve this arbitrary command, they entered into a period of probation. And the scriptures do not tell us that there is a specific end to the period of probation, because the period of probation was broken off by the disobedience of Adam and Eve. But the implication is that there was a specific period of probation, and we do not know the end of the period of probation, for because, as I say, it was broken off before Adam and Eve reached the end of the probation period and achieved life. Rather, they disobeyed and they died. And so they entered into this covenant. Or we should put it this way. God placed before them this covenant and brought them into this covenant relationship with Him. And this was a gracious act on the part of God. This was a monergistic covenant. This was a one-sided covenant into which God brought Adam and Eve. And the parties of the covenant are God and Adam and Eve. The promise of the covenant is life. This is the implied promise. The stipulations are simple. Do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the penalty was death. This was indeed a genuine covenant. And what was this death that God promised as a penalty? Well, first of all, there was spiritual death. When Adam and Eve failed and broke the covenant, God banished them from the garden. In other words, God banished them from His gracious, merciful, loving presence. And they were set outside of the garden. This was spiritual death. Being separated from the gracious presence of God. And then there is physical death. Adam and Eve lived long lives. Adam lived 930 years. A very long and prosperous life. But then he died. He was subject to physical death because he broke the covenant of life. And then there is eternal death. Eternal death in hell. Permanent separation from the gracious presence of God and condemnation in the wrathful presence of God. This would be eternal death. Adam and Eve did not, I say again, did not experience eternal death. And they're not experiencing eternal death now, because God came along with the promise of Jesus Christ in whom they believe. That's a lesson for another time, is it not? But here is the covenant of life, a covenant in which God says to Adam and Eve, you keep this covenant and you will live. That's the implication. You break this covenant and you will surely die. And they were set outside the garden and then experienced physical death. And had they not turned back to God through Jesus Christ, they would have experienced and would be experiencing now eternal death in hell. The amazing thing about the covenant of life or the covenant of works is that you and I are under its curse. Listen to Romans chapter 5 and verses 17 and following. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. It's the beginning of the verse with which I'm interested. For if by the one, the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Yes, death came into the world through Adam. Verse 18. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men. Yes, we all died in Adam, and we are all condemned in Adam. Verse 18 again. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. Verse 19. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, when we trust in Him, we are delivered from the curse of death that we receive as a result of the disobedience of Adam. And that is a wonderful thing for you to contemplate and for me to contemplate. Let's go back now to the question and answer. What special act of providence did God exercise toward man in the estate wherein he was created? When God created man, he entered into a covenant of life with him upon condition of perfect obedience, forbidding him to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil upon the pain of death. As we will see, Adam sinned and fell, and we sinned and fell with him. And so now we are under the curse of death. By the disobedience of the one, the many, you and me, were made sinners. What is your hope then? Your hope is to turn to the second Adam, to Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life on your behalf, who died to pay the penalty due to you for your sins. And because of his good work on behalf of sinners like you and me, we, through faith in him, can have life in heaven, which is to come. And so, friends, understand the covenant of life in Genesis. Understand that death comes to you and me through the violation of that covenant by Adam and Eve, and that the way forward for you and for me is to trust in and believe in the second Adam, the second head of a new humanity, even Jesus Christ, who lived that perfect life for you and me, and died that perfect death to cover our sins and the sin of Adam as it affects us. Trust in him and receive new life in him. Thanks for listening.